This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Kiwis and Dragons, a D&D adventure from Aotearoa, New Zealand, the home of hobbits. Our intrepid party of adventurers consists of Duncan Daynut, a fighter with a heart of gold and a brain of turnip.
Grandma Daynut used to say, a sharp axe is better than a sharp intellect.
Undra Vermis, a drow necromancer with a fascination of death and a mystery to solve.
I put the fern in inferno.
Tish Dusklight. A gnome bard that sings like an angel and talks like a mugger in a dark alley.
We're on a road to nowhere, come on inside. Feeling okay this morning, and you know we're on a road to paradise. Here we go, here we go.
And Skjold Gunnvaldsson, a war cleric who lets his hammer do most of the talking.
Det är som mörkast innan gryningen. So that's like it's dark before it gets light.
Oh, yes. Kind of dawn.
I never noticed that.
Morning time.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's light before it gets dark, so it sort of works both ways. Can you say that backwards?
No.
Oh,
it doesn't
okay.
work like that.
Well, we join our group as they have made their way through the deep mine of the Stonewalt Mining Company. An epic roller coaster of a minecart ride, getting them to the final destination, where the gateway leading them to another realm, another space, another time. Who knows? Stands in front of them. Our war cleric, our champion of Rowan, making his way and having a brief encounter with a stone golem who sees the good of Skjold and allows him and his companions to pass through the portal on his journey to retrieve the what he believes to be an ancient warhammer of the god of war himself. Suddenly this blackness takes you all as you all make your way through the shimmering kind of vertical wall of water of the portal. You for a second lose all sense of which way is up, left, right. Stomachs rise through the kind of the tumultuous journey, and suddenly solid ground underneath your feet. Tish, as you come around and open your eyes, you look over and Duncan kind of 3-point pose, kind of shifting his way, his head already looking around for everyone else.
Or have I done a superhero landing?
Absolutely.
Oh, well done, mate. It's really cool.
In the centre between the two of you, Skjold standing with his warhammer to one side, upright and ready.
Well, careful with that, your warhammer's all upright.
You're in a small circular rock chamber, natural rock, maybe 30 feet high, 50 feet in diameter. You stand in the centre of a circle, four statues encircling you.
A statue, bro.
One with a stone dwarf, one what looks like a dragon king of some sort, one an orc warrior, and one a human. The statues exceptionally detailed. Pillars stand in between these, and similar runes to those that were on the archway seem to be carved into the harpat stone floor. As the three of you look around.
Oh, that's good. All three of us are here.
But guys, where's Undra?
And Undra, you find yourself opening your eyes to almost complete darkness. You can make out the dark greys of your hand as you wave it in front of your face. Your dark vision giving you the most barest of lights and dark shades. All very difficult, almost impossible to see. A light breeze runs through which whatever cavern you may be in. No noise at all. No kind of chitter chatter from Duncan or smart remark from Tish. Attempt at heroism.
Smart remark from Duncan is what you mean.
Right, sorry, yes. Or chitter, kind of a heroic comments from Shold. And then a little kind of sensation on your hand. It's almost like an insect crawling over it. And then another. And then another. And then a similar sensation on your forehead. As a little kind of very light-footed crawling of an insect running across your face. You must make a perception check, please, but with disadvantage.
Oh, not this again. Ooh, 8.
As you kind of you get a sense of there's something running across your hand, a small insect of some sort, and as you bring your hand over to kind of within view, you can see the silhouette and the darkened shape of what looks like a smallish spider. 2-3 of them running across your hand. One on your kind of curls across your vision, another one runs over your feet and starts to climb up the kind of the thinner leggings that you wear on your cloak and robe. And then you just see a shift of movement on the floor all around you as what looks like a swarm of many spiders just moves at you quickly. Can you roll initiative, please, Undra? Just you.
14
okay.
+4, 18.
You get to go first. What do you do?
Hello, my little friends. What are you doing? I get the one away from my ear. And then I cast dancing lights.
So what does that do?
It's just some little globes just to light up the room. I want to see if it freaks them out or makes them move away.
As the globes just erupt, poof, 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 the spiders for a second, the swarm that is bigger than what you first kind of envisaged, for a second starts to shift away and then just swarms and moves back as you see another element of it, the same swarm but just kind of dropping down from the ceiling from spider webs that are engulfing the chasm. That's your go. The swarm moves in.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be 12 to hit.
No.
As it covers engulfing your arm and you get the sensation that these are not being friendly, but unable to penetrate your armour. What do you do?
Oh, it's me again. Oh, yay. I need to get out of here. Can I see anything in the light? Another way to, a place to go? Higher up? A little shelf? Anything?
You seem to be in a bit of a pinch point in this cavern. Stalactites and rock formations around you. The walls are dry. There's no water of any type. And they just seem to go up for an endless distance. You can't make out any ledge at all. The cavern opens up in like almost a cone-like shape in front of you. It's getting wider and wider with hidden rocks and stones of all sizes. You don't seem to be able to find any particular way out. Webbing covers many of these rocks and joins between them larger creatures. There's one particular one there that looks like a half-eaten, cocooned humanoid in some form, and you see cocooned creatures of sizes and shapes just scattered throughout all of the webbing that you can see.
New year, new me. So how far down? Are we down? Is there a hole above? Am I just?
As far as you're concerned,
appeared in this.
You just have appeared in this room. None of your friends are near you or around you.
So it's complete behind me, and I can only see forward.
Correct.
And it gets wider.
That's correct.
No light.
It fades out as the dancing light. The radius of it starts to fade. It just dims into darkness and blackness.
Okie dokie.
All the while the spiders are moving over you. More and more of them coming up.
Invisibility is not going to help me. Misty Step, I have no place to move to. No?
A Misty Step will take... You can... A point and you can see is what you can move to, a Misty Step. But
yes, perhaps deeper into the... yeah, sure. Now let's do it.
So how far do you move?
That's a bonus.
Cast it as a bone
session. Okay, sure. 30 feet.
Okay, so you pick a point and you just...
Yeah.
And you materialise this swarm, maybe one or two have come with you, you brush them off. And sensing that you're out of any immediate danger, you hear... Make a wisdom saving throw.
12.
You take 4 points of psychic damage. And as a result of the failure, this sense of dread as you just materialise and your confidence and bravado just seems to melt away as this voice fills your head. See, as soon as you moved out of the sunlight, I could see you, my lost child. I could sense your movement, and how surprised I was when your unexpected move across the realms gave me the opportunity to just pull you towards me. So, welcome, Undra. I've been so wanting to chat to you as you kind of feel this presence in your mind and you're just this panic of you're frightened. Everything about you screaming run, but you just don't know where.
Hello, Auntie.
Oh, precious. I don't know who you think I am, but I'm a lot worse than her. And in the distance, you hear a... like a click and a clack of large legs hitting the hard-packed stone. And a clicking sound off in the distance. See... To me, Undra, you are an enigma. Why did you survive? I don't know. Why did you run? But there is something about you that intrigues me. You could be fantastic if only you were to come back. So, how about you return to me? Give yourself over to the darkness. Join me and our family, and we can do great things.
One thing you got wrong there is that I am fantastic. I mean, I'm not surprised that you want me, really. But as nice as it sounds, I think I'd like to join my other friends in realm, but...
You're not going anywhere.
I think perhaps this is just a dream.
You'll get... And she stops. What? What is happening? You feel a presence in your mind, unfamiliar, and it doesn't speak, but it is almost like it's asking you permission, but you don't know for what. No. You cannot have her. And you see in the darkness these two massive legs that maybe stand 10 feet tall, hairy, and kind of the carapace is hard as they just kind of move into the radius of your dancing lights. You will not take her from me. She's mine. And a third, and a fourth, and this large, dark torso moves in. And again, this presence in your mind. What do you do?
Well... my initial thought is to just fireball everything, see what happens. I don't know what to do.
This is not.
Is the voice in my head a good voice, a bad voice?
It's not such a voice, but it's just a pleading, a sense of this is not where you are supposed to be.
Yeah, I want to listen to that one.
Yeah, and you just feel yourself being torn back, and as you just dissipate from where it is that you stand, you see this hulking humanoid joined to this massive torso of a spider just move forward, and as it does, just swallows the light coming from your globes as they wink out, and you hear this high-pitched scream of anger and frustration, and then a "Don't worry, I will get you yet," and suddenly blackness. The three of you are in a cabin. What do you do?
Or did Undra come through with you?
I thought she was with you guys.
Well, yeah. I ran after Short, but I dived through that silver shimmery portal, and I thought she was. I thought she was with you.
I thought we were just all going together, like.
Yeah, I'm a little worried now. Maybe she stayed behind.
No.
Oh, we look behind. Maybe she's behind one of these statues. Can we look behind these statues?
Yeah, let's do that. You take that one, and I'll go over here, and you do that one.
Can we have a look round to see if we can see her?
Yeah. You make an investigation check, but even just with a quick look around, you can make those. You see no body, no Undra, no one hiding, no one standing anywhere.
So I'll try like shouting out again, Undra.
Let's not even bother.
Your voice carries up the corridor that stands in front of you. This entranceway with this kind of stone brick arch. Seems to be man-made leading off to, but there's a bit of an echo, but not a great one, not suggesting that this isn't a large cavern. And what did you all roll?
I got a 12.
12?
7.
7, okay. You're kind of concentrating more on the, you're kind of looking around for the body. Duncan, as you skirt around, you notice, looking around the statues, names embossed on the plinths that they stand on, there's a multitude. The human, the name says Valatanis, the draconic or the dragonborn looking warrior. Alamin, Vulin, there's a dwarven warrior, Barimatir Onyxborn. These names just carved in with other runes and sigils you're not aware of. The orc, Cogna, and Boulderspit. Each one of them wielding a different weapon, each one of them looking a warrior in their own right. But no wonder.
Oh, it's a writing on these statues, but I don't know what it says, so I want to read it.
You do, because you're like way better at this. If only Undra was here, she's good at this
yeah,
stuff.
She's yeah, she's a clever one, eh?
Damn
yeah, but she might have wandered off, but I'm going to read out the names out loud for her.
Do they mean anything to us, the names?
It's just look like names.
Oh. What weapons is the dwarf carrying?
The dwarf has a two-handed hammer.
Disappointment.
Yeah. Disappointment. So it looks like it's kind of got a ram crafted into one side of the hammer and it's kind of ornate finishing. The draconic is wielding this kind of vicious-looking meat cleaver, but, yeah, like double-sized and kind of a oversized handle with this kind of ball of spikes on the end of it. The human, a long sword and a shield. And then the orc is just holding this kind of massive kind of two-handed axe, a vicious-looking thing.
Ooh. It's a shame the dwarf hasn't got the axe. I feel a bit let down there. Do you think we ought to have a little look, like have a wander to see if Undra's got lost somewhere?
Yeah,
she
might have wandered off by herself.
She could have done.
But that doesn't sound like her either.
No, but she's not here, so we best have a look, I reckon.
Yeah, Undra.
So where do you move?
Let's
that way.
You said there's an arch there.
Yep.
Let's just wander through the arch and have a look.
The archway is it's more of a kind of a decorative as opposed to supportive. It leads into a corridor maybe 5 to 10 feet wide.
Is there any light down here?
Yeah,
there is not, no. There seems to be some light emanating from the four stones in the room where you were, but they fade away as you move into the darkness of the tunnel and the corridor. The two of you with dark vision, fine. You get to see those shades and those shapes of darkness, greys and blacks, but...
I will have torch vision.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, I think you must get your torch out, Shoal.
You sorted it out.
Then Undra might see it and come running.
Oh, yeah, she loves your torch.
Yeah, she does.
Whereabouts do you make your way to?
Let's walk down the corridor, I suppose, and see what we find.
If you want to move the pieces down torch, there, you move into this open corridor. This kind of small cavern opens out, and you can see the corridor leading on. At the opposite end, it's maybe kind of 40 foot wide at one point, giant stalactites and rocks scattered. As Shoal moves in first, his torch highlights the scattered remains of what look like animals, one like a humanoid creature of some sorts, bones ancient and old, bereft of any cloth or flesh or anything. A rusted sword lies by one. The other looks more like some form of deer or horse-like creature.
Yeah. Oh, is it dead horse there? Was that you, Tish?
Oh, only I'm pretty good at killing horses.
Duncan, you know about holes and stuff.
Oh, yes.
So does this look like the mines, like these tunnels?
Does the rock formations look similar to where we were before?
It's kind of underground, but...
I'm really good with like rock things. I get something. Advantage on history checks to do with stone.
Okay, make a history check.
Right. Oh, I got a 19.
Right, okay. Roll again in case you get a 20.
Oh, 6.
Okay. That's almost a 20. The coloration of the stone is ever so slightly different, and there's as you kind of go and get a little bit of a closer look, there you see kind of veins of some form of kind of substance, and you're not sure what it is. It doesn't look like the silver and the gold ores or the gems that were in the mine. This is it kind of twinkles and sparkles, but it's just different. It's not something that you're familiar with.
No, I think we're somewhere completely different, Shold. I think that teleport thing has taken us somewhere completely else, because this doesn't look like the same rock. A rock don't change that quickly underground, in my experience.
Okay. Undra!
Can I have a quick look at one of the body that was human, not the dead horse?
That's the one further up, so yeah. You make your way up to there. And it looks like a human or a half-elf, so kind of about, you would have gauged about 6 feet. It's humanoid as opposed to dwarf or orcish. It's not thick bones, but you're tracking through an area where there are no tracks. These bones look like they've been here for a while.
Yeah. Does they look, like, well-preserved, or are they, like, smashed up, like
move yourselves up there. Do you want to make an investigation check?
Yeah. Does he have, like, a shiny magic ring on him or anything like that?
Yeah.
I'll make an investigation check.
I will, because that's the strong point.
Where are you going, Tish?
I'm just lingering in the back where it's safe, safe.
I got a 3 on my investigation, but I have to take 2 off of that, so that's a 1.
Oh, well done.
He does not have a shiny, nice ring on his fingers. They are stripped clean and shiny white bone. As you're investigating the creature down in front of you, what's your passive perception of you?
That 10 plus wisdom, isn't it?
That's right.
What? Yeah.
Mine's 11.
Yeah. What you said. 11. With 10 plus the wisdom. Yeah, 11.
14.
Okay.
Oh, wait, passive wisdom perception. That's 17, it says here.
Oh, he's really smart when he's passive.
As you're standing investigating the body, the breeze seems to just kind of like a flash of air along your Tish, and you're just kind of thinking about that. And that a second ago there wasn't a breeze in here, and it's at that point where does 18 hit?
Yes.
As a large black leather-looking winged creature seems to move, and you turn just as it's whipping from the wall where it was hidden, stationary high up. And moves into attack you.
Oh.
To give you an idea, it looks a little bit like that.
Oh, it's so ugly and pretty at the same time.
So 18 to hit, it's called a cloaker.
A cloaker? Because it looks a bit like a cloak.
Yeah. It's pretty
It's kind of skinless, like leathery in kind of appearance and dark. 18 hits?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm going to wear it when it's dead.
I'm working on it.
So that's 7 points of piercing damage, please.
Okay.
And as the two of you turn around, you see the creature. It just wraps itself around these two little small claws, just to attach themselves to Tish's upper torso as it's wrapping itself around you. At the same time, its tail will just scratch that. I'm going to say just about reach you, Duncan, 10 feet. As it's, you see, the last moment, this tail just whips around you. That's going to be a 10 to hit.
No.
This is just the last minute you use your axe and bat it out of the way.
I've got to do my special skipping movement to skip over it.
Oh, lovely.
Very graceful. Let's roll initiative.
Grandma Dana would be skipping quite a lot. She's like, makes you light on your feet.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that plus whatever.
Oh, I've started well. I've wasted all my good rolls on the rubbish that doesn't matter. That was a 21 for initiative for me.
Tish?
17 over 2 is 19.
Awesome.
I know I'm in pain. That was not good.
Having had
roll.
The first go, Duncan, you are up.
Right. Well, I'm going to hit it with my axes because that's what I do. So I'm going to go with my necrotic axe first.
Yep.
I'm going to try and like swipe its tail, see if we can sever that.
Oh,
that was all right. That was an 18 plus 7, so that's 25.
That hits.
Cool. 10 damage on that one.
Nice, good job. Second attack.
Second attack, which should be non-necrotic. Oh, that was a 16 plus 7, so that's 23.
That hits.
So that's 10 damage.
Nice.
And then the third one. Third one's the charm, I like to say. Oh, that was just a 12, so that's a 19.
That hits.
So that's 12 plus 4, that's another 16 damage.
Ooh.
So I'm going to get the three axes and I'm going to get off Tish. That's inappropriate touching. I go boom, 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 and smack it with my axes.
So in total, that was...
a lot.
So 16 plus 10 plus 10.
Year 3.
10, 20, that's 36 points of damage.
Well, that was quite a good round.
Which is
me.
Awesome. You hear a scream as you take half
me?
Of that.
Oh.
A damage transfer from the creature as you wail into it. And the creature wails and screams. But so does Tish. And immediately, even your understanding, Duncan, is, I think, that hurt her too. So the creature takes half.
So
Tish takes
what was
the other
it?
Half. So you take 8, we'll say 36.
Yeah.
So you take 18 points of damage.
Cool.
That's the
cool.
best round of damage I've ever done, Tish, I think.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. What, 18? Okay, I just got to do counting. Just, I'm not dead, though. But that was sucking motor.
Tish, you're up.
Sorry, Tish.
So, I'll just come back to that. Because I can't think. Because I'm in pain.
You're not technically... grappled, you're just attached. This creature is attached to you and it will get advantage on attacks against you. You can use your action to try and get away from the creature or you can do something else.
But
you're not technically grappled.
So it's just like holding on a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of wrapping itself around you.
Oh, everyone loves a cuddle. Shivers my timbers. And if I blast it because I'm touching it, it'll hurt me like an electric shock.
Get that impression, maybe.
Okay, how do I wiggle out of it?
You can rank a strength check.
Oh, cool.
The DC to see if you can kind of get yourself off of it.
Strengthy strength is that.
Can't just use an action to disengage, no, she'll do a strength check.
Creature now included, she has to take an action to detach the cloaker by succeeding on a strength check.
Mm.
So only if you have something that will give you an advantage.
Like inspiration or something.
Oh, like, I don't know, like something.
Like my greenstone.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm holding my greenstone. I'd like to play my greenstone at this time. And I'm going to throw my big dice.
Yeah, and roll it twice and take the highest.
Oh, twice. Okay, well, that time is 11, which would be 12. Or that time...
Ooh.
The second time was 18 and one is 19.
That'll do it. The DC was 16, so go the stones.
All right, so wiggle out.
Yeah, how'd you do that?
Oh, I just threw my arms in the air and wiggle it down like I'm having a Saturday night party in the tavern.
Just like that.
Just bump and grind out of there real quick.
For a second, the creature just kind of wiggles. Kind of wiggles with you.
Like I'm sliding down a banister of happiness. This isn't heavy because it's a cloaker. Can I do anything when I hit the ground?
That was your action. You got a bonus action.
Okay, which means you can do anything in your repertoire?
That says bonus action, or you can, like, inspiration, or cast a spell that says bonus action, or a cantrip, but...
Oh, you want them to be, like, specific. Can I just turn around and blast it?
No, not really. It's got to be a bonus action spell.
Oh, like a... cut it with
it's got to be something that's a bonus action, so if you've got like any of your spells that are bonus action you can cast them. Or you can do your inspiration.
Hang on a minute then.
I'll just carry on without me. I'll be here a year. I'm not good with this part of it, guys.
You can inspire one of your friends if you want. That's something you can do with a bonus action.
Yeah, can I inspire her to come back? Oh, not good like this. Yeah, who's up close to us?
Well, you can see that one, and you can see that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I pointed to Shoal and Dunkelbot.
Yeah.
And this one is coming at you with a torch.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Good luck with it. No. I'm going to do my own sums. Good luck while you're at it. Go. That's mean, eh? You know, I'll just hold tight.
Hold high, done, right? It's go. From the damage taken by you, Duncan, and you releasing Tish, it just kind of moves back ever so slightly. You do get an attack of opportunity as it kind of just, like, as it just kind of flies back maybe 10 feet. Roll if you want to attack with your whatever. It's moved out of your range.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yep, so if you want to attack it.
So I can just bang it with my circular blasting?
It has to be a melee attack. So your rapier.
Oh, yeah, cool. Let's stab at it with a rapier.
Roll your attack.
That's the big one.
Hello, big one. Okay. Oh, wait, plus six is 10.
Quite, unfortunately, no. And as you see it move back.
I've got little arms. I've got a six as well, but that goes to a 13.
That just misses.
Oh, noodles.
And as it moves out of range, suddenly it just. And then, well, there was one, no, no, three.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, stink buzz.
That is his action. Shoal, you are.
Right, I will.
Cool.
Move towards it, waving my torch in the air. And, like, trying to, like. Because I'm guessing they're afraid of fire because they're cloaks. Cloaks are afraid to burn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and, like, get them to move away.
Okay. Which one are you going toward?
The right one.
Can you roll a d20 for me?
I can indeed. That is a 13. Do I add anything?
Nope. Okay, so you head towards the right one,
yep.
the three,
yep.
Waving your torch. You try and just wave it in front of it?
I'm going to try and, like...
poke it?
Poke it with it, like burn it with the...
Okay. Yeah,
burn it. End.
You poke it with your torch, old. That's what you're done
Do you want to roll a... As you go to attack it, roll a d20 and just add your strength modifier.
Yes. Right, that's an 11 plus 2, so that's 13.
It just misses. As you wave past, the creature just seems to float and move out of the way.
It's afraid of me.
Yeah. And there are still three of them. Duncan, you're up.
Right. I'm going to try and hit it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll a D. You got to hit one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Roll a D20, please.
17.
Okay. You run into one and attack. Roll your dice.
That's a 14.
That just hits.
Cool. Is it a real one?
It takes how much damage?
8, 9, 13 damage.
It does take damage, and it stays there, suggesting that this one is real.
Right, I'm going to hit it again then. Oh no, that was a natural 1, but luckily that wasn't my necrotic axe, so I don't actually damage myself on that one. So I go to swing, but I'm confused myself by the other two, and I'm just thinking, is that the real one or was it not? And I just pull me axe a little bit, and I don't quite hit it.
No, fantastic. And your last attack.
But I'm fully committed on this one.
Get ready to go, you're up.
This one's going hard.
And it's fair to say you see Duncan attacking this one and it taking damage.
That's a 23.
That'll hit.
And that's been necrotic again. That's another 10 damage.
Nice, okay.
Not as good as the round when I smacked Tish, but, you know, still quite good.
It's pretty good. But, you just kind of wail into it, and Tish, you see that Duncan's kind of connecting with this one, Shoal's fighting a different one, waving his torch in front of it. What do you do?
How close to me is the other one?
They're all pretty much within, like, 10 feet, so a little bit of movement. So.
Cool. Can I just... Yeah, I'm confused, but I'm happy. I'd like to hit one of them with the cloud of daggers.
Okay, which one do you want to hit?
That one. The one in... I so want to say the one in front of me.
No, but you'll get me as well, won't you?
Oh.
No, because it's not attached to you.
Yeah.
Has to be it was because it was attached to
Tish. No, but the cloud of daggers is like 5 foot radius or something.
It's a radius.
I'm not casting that then. I'll cast some.
You made that mistake the last game.
Oh, yeah.
What is mistake?
You should learn from your mistakes, Duncan.
Dear Duncan,
because you make
should.
A lot of them.
Yeah. I don't like any of those. I'll just whack out my light cross. Oh, no, I should give in some inspiration. No.
Rapier it.
So which one are you attacking specifically? You've got one with Trold, one with Duncan, and there's another one.
There's one right in front of me, isn't there?
Yeah, which is one that's not being attacked by anything.
And what's it doing?
Nothing. It's just hanging there at the minute, looking very menacing.
And they're all real?
As far as you are aware, yeah.
Cool.
Duncan's been attacking one and it's been taking damage.
Yeah, can I...
Can I? How do you move and attack? Am I allowed to do that?
You just move up towards one and
attack. Yeah, I'd like to move up to the one in front of Duncan and have a go at it with my rapier.
So the one Duncan's hitting.
Yeah.
Good choice. Yeah. Roll your attack.
Ooh. And plus that is it. Hold on, fingers. 22.
That hits. Roll your damage.
Which is a D8. Is that the... Oh, that's the cool-looking one. Plus 3. 8.
8 points of damage. Nice.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, bonus action for anything at all, or... Inspiration 21, or...
Well, no one's really hurt but me. Okay. I'll just hold off.
Okay, cool.
I know I'm selfish.
It's go. The one in front of you, Duncan, the creature just starts to moan, and all three of you feel this kind of like alien noise in your head as it wails out an intelligible kind of noise. Can I have all three of you please make a wisdom saving throw?
Yeah, my favourite. might be okay because it's my good one. 16.
Okay. And you as well, Tish?
Or at least it's my intelligence. Oh, that was good.
Did you throw it once and add the wisdom?
18.
Ooh. I got a natural 20.
Okay, all of you save. As you feel that all three of you simultaneously, for that alien kind of noise, that moan, kind of a bit of panic and fear just seems to creep in, and then you kind of look around to see your kind of fellows there, albeit missing one for the moment, and... resolve kicks in, and you just you fight off the effects of being frightened. That's its go. Shold, you are up.
Yes. Shold poked it with his torch and it started moaning.
What are you doing, bub?
I'm going to use my torch to like have it at bay, and then I'm going to use my hammer and smack it real good.
So give you advantage on that as you're kind of using your torch to just distract it.
Yeah,
so roll twice.
Right, I will take the 19 on the dice, so that's going to be a 24.
As the attack connects, it whips through the creature and it just dissipates. Just disappears completely in front of a phantasmal effect of some sort.
Well done, Shold, you killed that one.
Yes, Rowan is strong, and I'm going to throw a heal on Tish as my bonus action.
Okay, cool. Start to cool free.
Duncan, you're on deck.
Right, start as you mean to go, and I'm just going to keep hitting it.
Yep.
You get 7 hit points back.
So I'm going to like go quite low with my necrotic axe. I'm going to like cut right across its midriff, if it has such a thing, with a 20.
That hits.
Obviously the same one that I've been fighting, and that's 12 damage.
Nice.
Right, you're going to be doing a bit more moaning now. That was a natural 20.
Oh, nice.
So you're in big trouble now. That was 10.
Yep. Last attack.
Oh, that wasn't so good. That was a 13.
What did you roll for the natural 20? Like a 1 or a 2?
Yeah, I rolled a 6 and a 1, which wasn't brilliant, really. Oh, I think I rolled the wrong dice, did I? Oh, I did roll the wrong dice. Don't matter.
No, it does. Maybe it does. So what did you roll on that last attack?
So I rolled a 6 and a 1, so do you want me to roll 2d8, so 2d6 for the damage.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be less now. 5, 8, so that would have been...
And you doubled the dice on a natural 20.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I did. I rolled it twice. That would have been 11, actually.
And you didn't hit with the last attack?
No, I missed with the last one.
Okay, you kind of, like, attack and slash with its axes. It's looking pretty beat up and bloodied now, and the creature almost, you get the sense it's... the head on top of the is looking around for a way, and it looks up as if suggesting it's going to try and fly up. Tish, you're up. What do you do?
Go on, finish it, Tish.
Yes, rapier is pretty handy and standard. I'm going to be able to crack at it with my rapier.
Go for it.
What's that?
Nine plus.
That's 11. Oh, no, I looked at the wrong thing. What am I doing?
Plus 6.
Sorry, 9. 15.
That hits.
A lot of fingers. And then D8, so D8 which is my 3. Pretty one, which I just had in my hand, and then I put it down somewhere. Why must I put it down? Oh, the blue one. Oh. 7.
How do
I
do this?
I want to, like, step forward and into its whatever its belly it is and just rip it up. I'm very angry.
You are.
Hit it.
And it's exactly what you do. It's kind of like this kind of dark, black-like kind of liquid just gushes out of this light, softer torso at the front of the creature, just kind of all over the floor of where you are, and the leather wings just crumple down in this heap as silence just kind of fills the cavern, except for the heavy breathing of the three of you. Well done. Defeated the cloaker. But he's still missing Undra.
Nice work, Pish. Well done. Shoal, just wave your torch about to see if there's any more. Can we just check to see if there's any more?
I'm going to check all the like nooks and crevices.
Yeah, make a perception check with advantage. On the death, as you kill this one, the third one just disappears. The kind of the image, the phantasmal image just kind of winks out.
25.
Yep, you're kind of specifically looking for that kind of leatheriness of the wings, and you can't see anything. You've nothing else in the cavern here. And actually, as you're looking around, you see the entrance way up as you move up there, a light coming out and slowly just kind of filling a small little kind of bend and turn in the end of the cavern, suggesting that there's some form of light.
Oh, guys, there's something glowing over here.
There's light at the end of the tunnel. That's what Grandma Dana always used to say.
Let's go into the light.
she quite often said you ought to stay away from the light as well. But no, we probably should go that way.
Did you want to cut some wings?
Big, yeah, well, I was just wondering about that. How big is this, like, beast?
Oh, I suppose maybe got a wingspan of about 6 to 8 foot.
Could I make some sort of nice sort of cloak out of it?
As you're handling it and looking at it, it's quite tough, and it's like an animal skin. Could do, but I mean, it would probably feel it would need to be done by a professional of some sort.
What are you trying to say?
That you're not actually a cloak maker?
Well, you can probably make a hang glider out of it.
Oh yeah, I think it might be useful. Can I just carry it with me for a bit?
Yep, absolutely. What I'm going to say is, if you want to carry it for an extended period of time, it's going to take a little bit of effort, and it might possibly start to slow you down because you're lugging a monster around with you, a dead animal.
All right.
But you can take it definitely to the end of the cavern if you
want. I'd carry it for a bit until I get bored.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're just quickly trimming out with a knife.
Looking around and making your way out, you make your way to this kind of the corner and veer around the cavern pathway opening up and getting wider. You see a platform, a ledge. It's at the end of the entranceway. You make your way onto the platform. This massive vista opens up in front of you. You're looking out almost over the precipice of a land. It's green pastures, trees. There's bodies of waters and lakes. There's ranges and mountains just moving off into the distance past where your eyes can see. All the while, these large stone walls just build up on either side, almost encasing this in some form of world within a room. There's no ceiling to this cavern, this place, but instead a swirling miasma of stars and clouds and flashing lights. Not ominous, but just beautiful.
Like cheerful and stuff.
Not cheerful, but like a kind of a rolling mix of light and sparkles and darkness and clouds. As far as you can see, this is what makes up the ceiling of this chasm, cavern. The stone walls reach up and go through whatever this ceiling is made out of. And again, your eyes are drawn. Mm-hmm. As you can see in front of you, a pathway leading down the rock face, maybe about 100 foot, stairs and paths just kind of cutting back on themselves as they reach the floor of the land below. Green grass and pasture, rolling hills moving off directly in front of you. You see a range of hills off in the distance, at a guess maybe 4 hours away by foot. Past this in the distance, the shimmering of what you can only imagine to be a body of water, huge, spanning from one side of the world to the other.
Fishies.
It's not like you're looking into a large room. You're looking at you could be on top of one of the mountain ranges, looking at the vista of the valley below you. This just happens to be inside.
So it's like an entire kingdom that's walled in.
Yep. Wow. Can I just have everyone make a perception check as you're looking out over this vista?
26.
22.
I don't think we need to talk about it.
Okay. I think it's I can see my house from here.
As you're just... You're questioning the beauty of the rolling lights as the two of you actually see a burst off in the distance. Just past the first range of rolling hills, a kind of a flash, ever so briefly, almost you second guess if you saw it, flash of white, and then it's gone. It just stands out.
Can I sort of make a note in my mind where it is so that I can get to that point?
Absolutely, yeah. What would you like to do?
Well, I think there's two things we need to do. First of all, want to try and throw this great big beast off to see if I can make it glide down into the valley.
Cool.
The flash, was it like someone signalling with a mirror or bigger?
It would be bigger than that.
Okay.
You get the sense that it was possibly something arcane or magical. Describe how you want to do that, Duncan.
Right, well, I'm going to like... Maybe you could help me, Tish. Could you get one wing?
Yeah.
I'll get the other one.
Yeah.
And then we'll like run up to the edge and then throw it.
Yeah.
Ooh. So you're not holding on to it as you throw it off the cliff?
Oh, no, I'm not going up with it.
Don't be silly, I'm not
hang gliding
down.
It's
dangerous.
And as the two of you launch this thing off, it just propels off, and for a split second, you're joyous as it holds, as a kind of a little draft of hot air just lifts it up, and then the wings, without that tension and muscle and kind of brain to hold them out, just collapsing on themselves, and the thing starts to plummet like a stone.
Oh, look at that.
And you watch. One, two, as the thing just cracks onto the floor below.
Wonder would want it, you know.
Yeah. Does it splatter quite impressively?
There's a good amount of splat.
Oh, I preferred it if it would have fly, but that was still quite fun.
Heaps of fun. Thanks, mate.
Yeah. Wonder would have liked that. I'm slightly vexed. Well, what do I use that word for? I don't even know what it means.
It's very grown up for you.
It was. I'm slightly worried that.
I've got a couple of words for that. It's up some soul and near some pankakan.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's more complicated than vexed.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Undra. I don't know. Do we wait for her, or should we try?
Yeah, I thought I saw some like arcane lights down there, something. But I don't know if we should go from here. If she went through the portal with us, she should have been here.
Yeah.
Should we...
Do you think we should leave a note? Can you write? Who can write?
Yeah, I can write.
Maybe we could pop back to that like portal, and I've got some chalk. Could you chalk a message on the floor for us? Saying,
yeah,
we've gone ahead.
We went that way.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Can we do that?
You can do that, and you do that, absolutely. And then you leave a note, and what do you want to do after that?
I guess head down the mountain, I suppose.
Yeah. Towards the shiny thing that you guys keep talking about that I didn't see because I'm little.
Is that your kind of heading and destination?
I guess, we either sit about here and wait for Lyra, which we don't know where she is, or we just crack on.
It could be a tavern with pie.
Oh, let's head on then.
Yeah.
So you head on.
It's what she'd want.
Heck yeah.
You make your way down the cliff face, the stairs, pathways into the plateau below, and it doesn't take long, and start heading. The grasslands flat and relatively lush and rolling, and you head towards that range of hills.
I'm going to shout out for her, like, Undra!
You do that.
And on one particular occasion,
you do that, and something pokes up from some long grass in the distance, and it looks like a deer. But a very strange deer in that it's got this coat of beautiful kind of deep forest green, and its antlers are a six pointer, and they're a stag, and it's entwined with ivy, which seems to be growing out of the creature. And as it kind of like looks at you and the noise startling it, it runs off on six legs, not four, and bounds off into the distance, moving into a forest on the
of food if it's got six legs. It's heaps
And walking along the flowers.
I must have seen a different one. It only had three, the one I saw.
The flowers.
I might have three on each side.
Oh, yeah. So a total of three.
Yeah.
The vegetation and the flowers here seem different as well. There's no sun in the sky, but the colours are all sorts of shades and palettes that you're not familiar with.
And is the water safe to drink out of the lake if we've got thirsty?
Oh,
But the journey taking a couple of hours, maybe 3-4. Did you take the monster with you?
No, we split it.
You make your way, and for a split second, you get to that first range of rolling hills, and you make your way up. It takes about an hour to climb and move away. And as you're about to crest the peak, you turn around, and for the first time, you will see, looking back, the rock face you came out of. It seems to be the end of this cavern. It's like a massive wall stretching from end to end. And the massive feature of the wall is this 100-foot-high statue, which you only now have really seen. What looks like a giant of a man. He seems to be stretching out one arm to one side, holding up the wall, the rock face, just above where you exited. And you can see the stairs just kind of coming down.
Quick sketch.
On the other side, a hand resting on this massive warhammer that stretches like near 60 feet down to the ground. The distance of the hammer itself may be 25 feet, 30 feet. You don't know. You can't fathom a guess. Oh. But it's just this huge structure built in by some... You don't know who would have built this structure into the cliff face.
Do we recognise it as Rowan, a depiction of Rowan?
There's no discerning features to it. There'd been many depictions of Rowan in your life, but this is...
Judging by that hammer, like he's Rowan.
And turning round...
Rowan loves a big hammer.
Yeah.
You also spot a little trail of smoke coming from what looks like a small hut. Just a wee's way away, maybe 10 minutes walk. Nestled in on the other side of the range. The smoke faint and light, but you can perceive it coming from this place.
What do you reckon? Should we go to the hut?
Yeah, but carefully.
There might be a pub.
Yeah, but keep an eye out as we go for weird stuff.
I hope it is a pub, because if this is to do with Rowan, I reckon that would be the best pub in the world, that Rowan did.
Yeah.
It would be like all fighting and drinking. It would be brilliant.
Unfortunately, not a pub. You get closer. A very simple abode.
Dear, you've let me down a bit there.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. A simple house. Quite large. For you, it would be the size of a large inn. But you kind of get that size and that confusion. But it is just a simple house, a small fence, some livestock outside. The livestock, as you move towards it, seem to be a little bit larger than normal. There's a couple of cows and so on, but at least twice their size. Vegetables growing in a small paddock. As you're moving towards the house... Pumpkins the size of a cart. You see strange fruits that you can't possibly imagine what they are, and their size, they're bigger than your circumference of your hands wide.
Everything's a bit bigger.
Everything's a bit bigger, and you see sitting on a...
Is it America?
You see sitting on a bench made out of a fallen trunk. Next to the bench, there's a stump of an old tree with a huge axe just kind of wedged in, lumps of firewood just cleft on the side, rings of a whole tree broken in half, seeming to be feeding this newly lit fire and flame with some form of animal on a spit over the top of it. A grey, mottled skin, looks like a half-giant, looks over at you. Very strange in that none of you have ever seen a giant with glasses on before, and as he looks over at you, he puts down this massive tome, which would be the size of a table. He folds it down and he looks over to you with this interesting look.
Good day, visitors. I've never had visitors. Well, I have, but not for a long time.
Oh, that's a shame.
Hello.
Please tell me you've bought books. I do love to read.
Oh.
And where are my manners?
He stands up,
and as he stretches out, you hear this kind of crack of a back muscle and a spine. My name is Manook. And he steps forward. Obviously, towers above all of you. Yeah, bigger than an ogre, not quite the height of a hill giant.
Cool.
And he looks down and goes, welcome. And he goes, wait, how long have you been here? You're not of this world.
No, we just came through a magic portal. But we lost someone. Have you seen, a strange-looking, blue elf come past?
Like, really tall.
Very tall. Yeah. Quite odd.
Sometimes grumpy. Yeah.
Quite often grumpy.
And he's just talking to him, he just turns and... ducks into his home. And then comes out a split second later. and he's carrying this kind of this table, but without legs, and on it is a mixture of old tattered clothes. And as he brings it out very carefully and puts it down, you can see the unconscious form of Undra. lots of tiny bites all over her, very pallid in colour, unmoving. Is this who you have lost?
Undra.
Yes.
No, the one we wanted was alive.
And with that...
What?
We will hold it there.
Oh! Oh, this is cool.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us as we kind of start on this final leg of this first section of this campaign. Sorry for making you sit out of that much of that.
I thought it was one of your best games, to be honest.
Definitely got a lot more done. But don't forget, follow us on Instagram on keywordsanddragons.com, on the webpage. Gareth, take over. And
on Facebook, Keywords and Dragons on Facebook, and on our YouTube channel, which I'm putting most of the videos up, but I'm a bit behind, but I'll try and get those up to date. So yeah, check us out. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell people, because we want more people listening. So spread the word. Yes. Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.